To the work session of the City of Cedar Hills City Council. This meeting is being held at the Community Recreation Center in Cedar Hills. It's Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, and we are beginning this meeting at 6:08 p.m. So, we have two things on our agenda tonight. Our first item is our open and public meetings training by Craig Hall. We wait all year, can't wait.
You only wait all year, just the statute makes you wait all year. It's hard to do this differently every year. I mean, it really is. And so this is a reminder tonight. So we have the short version and we have the long version. So let's go to the first version.
Okay.
Okay, Chandler, hit it. So Sunshine Laws. And the purpose of Sunshine Laws is to do what? Brian, you have to know this answer.
Those were sunsets.
Sunset. This is sunshine.
It shines all the time. No.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to the short training. Simple. Do the people's business in an open and transparent manner. Okay, enough? We done? I mean, that's all it's about. No secrets. Except for five reasons that we'll get to shortly. So, the idea is that we do the people's business in the public. That's why we notice our meetings. That's why we go through the great effort of the city recorders to let everybody know. That's why the public notice website is up. And what's been around, 10 years now, about? And so everybody in the world can look at it and see what's going on, see the agendas, see the paperwork. It was all there today. I did check. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I always like to do that just to make sure that we remind ourselves. So let's go to the next one, since you want to do the long version tonight. What are sunshine laws? Let's go to the next one. You know, really, and at least in my life expectancy and my life experience and when we've been practicing, sunshine laws are not very old. Realistically, they're about 45 years old is all. I remember when I was first employed as the Murray City Attorney, the agenda would change at night, and that's when the city commissioners at the time, we had a commission form of government, they would bring surprises in to the meeting. And, oh, we're going to amend the budget and buy this tonight? Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. And the law allowed them to do it. It probably wasn't the best thing to do, the best practice. And so in 1976, the federal government passed the Sunshine Law of 1976. I think it was interesting, it was 200 years from the founding of the nation. I don't know if this is by purpose, but I find it ironic. And it says, every portion of every meeting of an agency must be open to the public to public observation. Now, we're in the legislative silly season. And I used to be able to make fun of my son when he was a state legislator in the House. I said, well, why does the Republicans always go into caucus meetings? They go behind closed doors. They have a majority. And they make decisions behind closed door at lunchtime. And then you cram open public meeting laws down our throat? I thought that was ironic.
What is it?
He just smiled. There's no good answer to that question. You know, it's not right, you know, in the spirit of sunshine laws. And, let's go to the next slide. I find it the legislative intent, you know, the people are the only legitimate foundation of power in the country, and it's from them that the constitutional charters derive. Government is and should be the servant of the people. It should be fully accountable to them for the action which it supposedly takes on their behalf. Next Monday when Chandler and the mayor, you're up at the Hill, I love to ask legislators, have you read the bill? They don't. The sponsors do. and then they have to develop trust with the other legislators that what they're saying is true. Because none of us, I scan through them every other day, use the league's, you know, bill tracker and all that crap. You can't read the whole thing. It's impossible. And so I don't think the legislature is a very good example of open and public experience. Yeah, it's there if you want to read it, but what's the real intent behind the bill? You know, Senate Bill 46 is the bill on medical marijuana, and I sent a little notice out to my landfill clients today, and one of them responded back and said, well, this is in response to a situation that happened at Ogden Fire Department. Now, I don't know anything about Ogden Fire Department, but he did. It's the Wasatch Integrated Landfill in Davis County, and I guess there was some brouhaha about medical marijuana cards and the firefighters driving the apparatus or whatever. I just thought it was ironic that there's a reason behind that bill. And there's, and you've seen this, Brian, and you know, with criminal stuff or civil stuff. And so, again, we're all government officials, are accountable to the public for what we do. This is a great picture. On the next slide, President Ford, and I found it a couple of things that are ironic to this. Number one, it's in the Rose Garden, out in the sunshine. And number two, there are no women in that picture that I could see. Is there potentially one, but I just thought the times have changed for the good and for the better. You know, your council is a good example here. You know, thank goodness. Okay, let's get into the meat of it. Quiz time. Okay, Ms. McEwen, I'm going to pick on you tonight. So, yeah, these aren't new questions. They're the same questions from last year. So, go to number one. There you go. Here we go. Three members of a five-member board inadvertently meet at a local restaurant during the Utah League of Cities and Towns Convention. Inadvertently, okay. They sit down together and discuss the upcoming council meeting. Serious discussion occurred between all three members regarding the land transaction decision to be made in the next meeting. Do we have a problem?
Yes.
Why? A quorum?
Because it can only be, two people can talk, but if there's three, it needs to be public.
And for our city, that's right. Three is a quorum.
Okay. Oh, because is it based on a percentage of the number?
Yeah, it has to be a majority.
Got it.
So.
Yeah.
Well, inadvertently may be true, but the operable term is serious discussion.
Right.
Now, this example is a real-life example that happened to me and my wife. A number of years ago, we were camping on the Skyline Trail down in the center part of the state. On Sunday, we went down to a religious meeting. I went to get a drink of water. There were three guys standing by the drinking fountain, and they were going at it about a zoning decision for the next city council meeting. And I presumed they were all three council members. They made a decision at the drinking fountain. All right? Should I butt in? Should I say something? I didn't. But I thought, that's just a good example of wrong. Just good example of wrong. And you can't do it. So is it impermissible to get together as a group? What did you discuss at your Christmas dinner? Nothing of importance?
It was important.
Not city stuff.
Okay, how many are going to the mid-year conference down in St. George? Okay, we're safe.
Taylor and I, we can talk about it.
Okay, we're safe. You can talk about anything you want. But if the three of you went, and on generally Thursday night they have a dinner, if you talked about blank on the next city council meeting, that's wrong. So let's not do it. Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, number two. The city purchasing agent received a response to the city's RFP for $1 million cemetery project. It is within the engineer's estimate and the budget approved by the council. The mayor reaches out to Shaw and the entire city council, seeking phone approval to approve the purchase agreement. Shaw, should the mayor sign the agreement outside of council meeting? The money's been budgeted. RFP went out. It's the lowest bid, and we got to
because
$1 million. Why? Okay, correct answer.
Because what did he say?
But the mayor didn't be out of town in some exotic place for 3 weeks.
It's not applicable.
Cemetery can wait.
Those people aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, so we got three burials this week. Come on, I can't wait.
The mayor pro tem can...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. Again, for transparency. Whole bunch of money, you know. If it's $50, I don't know what your purchasing limits are, but $50, $500, $1,000, $5,000. There's some levels. Okay. This is not under state contract. Yes, please. Okay. Council Member Z cannot attend the next meeting in person. He will be in some exotic place. I was picking on Mike Geddes at this point. But can he attend by the meeting in an alternative manner?
Well, we just had this discussion, so yes.
Yes.
He can.
What's the next question, though?
What's the next question? Oh, to set a precedent?
Well,
like, would that
we've got the pandemic, and we all went from home for... What, a year, 18 months, that sort of thing?
I think if everyone's attending virtually, then...
I would say if people have access, if the public also has access via a link, that they can just, like a Zoom link or something.
Is that productive?
Not really.
I agree with you. And I wrote this 3 or 4 weeks ago, before I found out that there's a bill in the legislature to change this.
To make that acceptable at every meeting?
No,
oh,
to do the opposite.
Oh,
interesting.
Oh, to make it so it has to be in person?
With some conditions, with some exceptions.
Yeah.
And so, should attending virtually be the new norm with or without a pandemic?
I mean, personally, I don't like it. It's not conducive to good discussion.
Absolutely.
So I just feel like it's better.
I don't think it's really conducive to public participation either. Okay.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah, that is true. Can't you attend virtually and we'll just mute you?
That's true. And we can just mute them.
Okay, number four. Okay, the well pump is burned up. It's July 4th. It's 100 degrees outside. The town council wants to hold a meeting right now to address the issue. Possible or not possible? Gretchen?
Yes, Colleen.
Oh, Colleen, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's possible.
Really? Laura says no. Let's have a discussion.
No. You can. I have an emergency meeting called. I guess that's true.
What kind of notice do you have to give, Colleen? The language in the statute as best you can, and if you show up, you waive any objection. So, absolutely, after fireworks, you...
Yeah.
After fireworks, you guys could get together and make a decision. Do the best notice you could, but you can proceed with the emergency only.
Mm-hmm.
The subject matter of the emergency, nothing else. Yeah. Last August, at the landfill in South Jordan, that's run by Murray Midvow Sandy Draper, there was a horrible lightning and rainstorm, and a lightning bolt hit a compactor that costs about $1 million, and it burned up. Next morning, we all wanted to go see what the compactor looked like. But, I mean, it was amazing. So they could do it. Okay, number five. Electronic devices, they're wonderful tools. They can be very helpful. During the meeting, the following occurred. A citizen in the audience didn't want to speak publicly about an issue because his neighbors were also in the audience. However, he sent a text message to member A, he sent it to Brian, with his concerns. How do you feel about that, Brian? A public hearing.
So I think if we start engaging, like answering the question back and forth without the public element, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you just get a text, like I just got a text from a resident, just asking a question about me, right? So if you get a text from an audience member and I start texting her back answering, that's a problem. But if I just get a text and like,
yeah, that's a good question because I also got a text. What should I do?
If it was before the
meeting,
if it's not during the meeting,
if it was before the meeting, I'd respond to it if that's how you feel. If it's during the meeting,
I
have problems with that.
But
because
what if, like Brian says to them, can I bring up your concerns? Like how do we deal with that? You know, do we have to say, Mr. So-and-so has a concern about this, or can we just say a resident has a concern about this and then make the concern public?
Well, the neighbor doesn't want him ratted out because the neighbor's, his position is different than his neighbor's.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ratting him out, but he doesn't want to get up in public and say anything. Should you consider a private comment during a public meeting in your deliberation? I think that's very difficult. But if you rat your neighbor out in front of his friends that disagree with him, that's a problem too.
Could you say a resident's concern is this and not say who it is? Is that walking a line or is that making that comment public?
Yeah. The resident who lives next door to Joe didn't want to be stand up and speak.
Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes
I know that. That's why these are not makeup.
Yeah. So, I mean, could we bring up the concern without writing out who it is?
I think you can.
Okay.
But I think each one of you need to decide for yourself how you're going to handle those questions. If you were asking me what you should do, and this is not a legal question, this doesn't violate open and public, as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't respond. I wouldn't consider it my deliberations, if we can separate ourselves from that. I'm not sure we can, but, you know, or this one, Laura not wanting to speak to Brian, sends him a text, says, your vote on that last issue was extremely wrong, and I thought your attitude sucked. Or, Brian, your vote on walking on the golf course was absolutely wrong. You know, or say something like, you know, Brian, if I agreed with you on that issue, we'd both be wrong. You know.
This is during a meeting? Because they can talk about that afterwards, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's inappropriate for council members to have private email electronic communication, conversations during an existing, ongoing council meeting. I just... I've seen people... Yeah. I was going to talk about that. Let's talk about... I've got a client, a city, that received a grand mal request about 45 days ago, before Christmas, saying we want all text, electronic communication, phone records of anything regarding this subject matter back to 2008 or 9. We've gone through, from council members and the mayor, the city has gone through two or three mayors since then. They got personal phones. They don't have city phones. I mean, so I called the attorney up and I said, can we get realistic? Can we do it just for the last 3 or 4 years? That's what's important. And thank goodness the attorney agreed with me to modify the grammar request. Colleen, can you imagine going back 15 years on a grammar request? Well, you guys have had great experience with a certain individual. Yeah. Yeah. So very difficult. In some cities, for example, Saratoga Springs, I was with Mayor Miller at the North Point Landfill Board meeting last week. They've just gone to city phones, and they would not conduct any business on personal phones, email, text, that sort of thing, which should make it easier for grammar requests. And I'm not suggesting you ought to do that, but maybe you ought to consider it. So, okay, this is a summary. We know what a meeting is, a majority, a quorum, three or more. Okay. Duly called, at least 24 hours notice. I really appreciate Colleen sending out the packets either Thursday afternoon or Friday. Generally speaking, I've never seen them come later. We may have amended it once or twice, but it's always been 24 hours, and I do check on PNN once in a while just to make sure. Well, the reason I do that, I had a horrible experience a number of years ago where the public... It was set for the budget adoption, you know, before in mid-June. And the Secretary of Treasury of this particular group did not send out the notice 24 hours in advance. I wouldn't let them adopt the budget until they reposted it, and we met the next day. It was inconvenient, it was horrible, it was embarrassing for this individual, but that's the way it is. And so it's at least 24 hours in advance, unless we have a fire happen. We need an emergency meeting. Next one, electronic meetings we've talked about. We've talked about cautions. Be careful of electronic meetings, electronic communications during the meetings. Next one, please, if you would. Notice requirements, we've talked about those. 24 hours, closed meetings. Let's talk about closed meetings. How many reasons are there to close a meeting?
5.
80% right, Mike. Good job. How you feeling?
Well, I sound a little funky.
Well, this is a numbing presentation, so that's okay. So, there's 5 reasons. Can you name them?
Mental competency.
Professionalism, competency, and that sort of an employee. Mm-hmm. Okay, 1. Yes.
That's what we usually go into. Those are the 2 we usually do.
Somebody discussing
a what?
Personal.
No, that was the first one the mayor mentioned, competency of an individual, that sort of thing.
Compensation too.
Nope.
There's pending litigation.
Oh, that's the next one.
Those are the
litigation.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever gone for any other besides those three, have we?
There's two others. There's it's like trade secrets.
Yes. Deployment of security devices. I can't remember either. The last one was not used very often. But the motion should be for a specific purpose. I move to go into an executive session for the purpose of discussing the purchase or pending or imminent litigation. Needs to be seconded and then approved by at least two-thirds. In our city would be four votes. Yeah, four votes because of three votes is only 60%. So it has to be two-thirds.
We also run into a situation where we're short. We don't have all the councilmembers. So we have to have like.
It has to be unanimous at that point, yeah.
And if there's only three, you have to have them all. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, be unanimous.
So we run into that.
Yep. During a closed session, minutes need to be taken. Do you do a separate recording for a closed session? Okay. What do you do if we're discussing the competency of the city attorney? Do you take minutes? Do you record it? Okay. What do you do for the minutes section? And if we want to, we can prepare an affidavit for the mayor that basically says the only matter that was discussed was the competency, mental competency, and professionalism of an employee, and do not need to know say the name of the employee. So, okay. Minutes requirements, open meetings. All the minutes are available. I looked again on the website today. You got a great archive of minutes going back. I didn't scroll all the way down, but for many, many years. And those are awesome. The minutes are great. And they're accessible. Again, on the backside, showing transparency and in the sunshine. So kudos to you on the website and how soon that the minutes are available. Minute requirement talked about closed. Okay, I think there's one more. Brian, can you go to jail if you spill the beans from an executive meeting? Yeah, you can. It's a Class B misdemeanor. $1,000 and up a year in jail. So. Depends how old the jail is, whether it's good enough, right? Yeah, and if you made a motion in the closed meeting, let's buy the piece of property at 1234 Main Street and you took a vote. Is that action void or voidable? Voidable. There's a 30-day contest period where somebody can come in and say, hey, look, the action you took in the closed meeting was improper. You should have done that in the regular meeting. Go back and do it again. So it's not void, but it is voidable. Okay, one more slide. Questions, concerns? Stay tuned for the legislature because there will be some changes. I'm pretty convinced of that this time. So we'll bring up the changes March, April. I think the last day of the legislature is March 7th or something like that. So at the mid-year meeting, I'm sure we'll have further discussions. So, and I'm sure the Recorders Association will let everybody know. So, hey, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So I'm going to hang around for a little bit. Hiram's going to be here in a second. I'm going to go home and take care of Mama.
How's she doing, by the way?
Awesome.
Okay, good.
She has two new pins and 24 screws.
Oh,
life is good, though.
Aww.
I got mad at her yesterday. She was on the floor unplugging plugs to a computer underneath her desk.
The arguing got so bad, I went to the office for the first time yesterday. <and I'm not. laughs>
That's a good sign. She's feeling better.
She's not going out of the house.
She's probably going nuts. Well, thank you, Craig. I appreciate that training. Our next item here is a discussion on the citywide survey. Chandler Goodwin.
Okay. We can get as far as we can today and then pick this up in the next council meeting. Okay. But I am going to move pretty fast. So we did the survey. We had 650 responses. We closed it January 21st. 650 responses compares favorably to the previous surveys that we've done, the only difference being that the 2014 survey was done through Dan Jones, so they knocked on doors, called people, sent like physical mail to a certain number of people, sent out links to the email. So they had a number of touch points and to make that statistically relevant, right? So that all portions of the population were represented. In 2018, we did it through Qualtrics. We had an agreement with Qualtrics, and we did it through Qualtrics. And this year, we did it through SurveyMonkey. So the number of responses is very similar. In fact, the responses are very similar. So let's get into that.
How much did we save by doing SurveyMonkey?
From Qualtrics or from Dan Jones?
Both.
From Dan Jones, we saved $9,500, and from Qualtrics, we saved about $5,500. So
that's great.
Anyway. First question we ask is basically why the first question we ask is basically why Cedar Hills, and from the top to bottom is 1 through 5, and you can see that people feel like they have a very high quality of life in Cedar Hills. They really rely on good schools here. They like the small city atmosphere. But as I went through the survey, something that got me thinking was, I don't know that I necessarily know what they mean by small city atmosphere, because if you were to stop somebody and say, hey, what does small city atmosphere mean to you, you'd probably get a litany of responses. So keep that in mind, but because when you look at the open-ended questions, and those were sent to you, I believe, if they haven't, we'll get that fixed. But when you look at the open-ended question, there's this sense that to many people that the charm of the small city atmosphere is slowly going away through development. So, and people, I think that the city council or the planning commission can put a kibosh on development that is not reasonable. Anyway, so small city atmosphere, we'll talk more about that one. Low crime rate, it is a very safe city and people really value that. The location, I think they like living on the bench, they like where they live, they like their neighbors. This one is the one that's been changing. Is, you know, back when we did decision surveys back 15 years ago, the answer to this question was very different, and it's trending the other way, right? Family-friendly community, again, this is probably subject to some interpretation of what that means. And then this is the changes over the years. You can see that the higher quality of life, people, it's increasing. And this is where I say you can go through Dan Jones, you can go through Qualtrics, you can go through SurveyMonkey, and the results are very, very similar. The only thing I would add is that in 2018, the scale was different on some of these. Rather than it being a 5-point scale, it was a 3-point scale. And so what I did was took the percentage of the 3-point scale and applied it to a 5-point scale and tried to harmonize those numbers a little bit. But you can see that they come out fairly similar, right? And so affordable housing is the one that's on the decline. Any questions that we've on these items? Okay. What are your top 3 priorities? This is a little bit difficult to read, I apologize. But this is, again, maybe a little nuanced, but the two that stand out are maintaining that unique small city atmosphere, right? So they really value it, as that's the reason they moved here, and they feel like this is an imperative for the city to focus on. I'm making sure that this is not lost in the decisions that we make. And then another item, and they might be tied together in many cases, is the beautification and open space, right? They really value the open space. And this might be broad in that that can include the trails, the parks, the golf course, and actual open space of undeveloped land on the hillside and in between properties. Coming in third is public safety and crime. They feel like this is a safe neighborhood, but at the same time they feel like this is probably somewhere where we need to pay some attention. reduce taxes. This one is funny to me because we've never raised their taxes, at least in the 12 years I've been here. You know, and by not raising taxes for 12 years, essentially you're paying less in taxes just through inflation alone. Commercial development. They really want to see commercial development, and we've seen commercial development, but something that residents need to understand is that we don't necessarily go out and pick what commercial development, because I know what I would pick, and it's probably very different from what the five of you would pick. And I don't think Disneyland would fit on that property. Which of the following recreation facilities should have amenities added to or renewed in Cedar Hills? This was really to kind of gauge maybe what, not necessarily just in Heritage Park, but when we were talking about Heritage Park, the things that stood out, and it's chopped off there a little bit at the end, I apologize, but trails, they really value the trails and the bicycle walking paths, which will dovetail nicely into our last discussion item tonight. But, you know, then you see the pickleball courts. I don't think that any city in the history of mankind has ever built enough pickleball courts to satisfy pickleball players. They really like children's climbing structures, wildlife viewing areas, but you can kind of see where they put value in things. Anyway, communication. We are going to make this a focal point for the coming year because we, while I don't feel like the city's failing in this regard, I do think that we are coming up short in this regard, in that we have good methods of communication, but I think on some level, when you stop putting meaningful content in that communication, people stop reading. And so when you go to the weekly update and you go to the newsletter and you look at social media posts, they should be really about relevant items that are going on in the city so that you're trying to reach out. And there's different types of communication and different purposes of communication. And I'm going to use fiber as a good example. When we started the fiber process 18 months ago, the question might have been to the neighborhood, what do you think about fiber? And then as that RFP goes out, and as we start getting those RFPs and meeting with those, and once we've selected a proposal from those RFPs, the question's no longer, what do you think about RFP? The question, because that solicits feedback, but the question becomes a statement saying, we've selected Utopia, it's more informative. And so all along the way, we've got to be working on our communication, and are we soliciting feedback, or is this an informative post or article? But when we talk about communication, there are certain ways that people want to receive that communication. Newsletter is fairly popular. It's heavy on the preferable side. And we do, if you look at other cities' newsletters, I don't know how often you get other cities' newsletters or look at them, but ours newsletter looks really good compared to some other cities. So there's a lot of work put in that. But again, that front page of the newsletter needs to be treated as some prime real estate for getting good information out there. So that's going to be a big discussion point and focus of the city going forward. Next, the website. It is a preferred method of where people get their information, so we need to make sure that we're updating that as well. Email, and I think this would be the weekly emails that we send out. People want to see that. Public meetings. There's no preference really here. Some people, I guess 20% of the people really prefer public meetings. You wouldn't know that tonight. But that's what they say. So, in theory, they do, right? Facebook, I mean, for me, this one would be green. For other people, this one would be whatever color this is. But that's just how, it kind of depends on your social media presence. I have zero. Other people are on it all the time. One thing we can all agree on is Twitter is not an effective way to communicate to the city. And we have a Twitter account. We have a Twitter account, but I don't think it, and it gets updated occasionally, but it's really not, that's not what people are looking for, right? So if there's a fire on the hillside and we tweet out about it, it's probably going into the ether, right?
Pay for that?
No, it's free. Okay. Automated phone call, people hate these.
Nobody wants that.
So if we're making an automated phone call, it better be because there's a high fire on the hillside. We really try not to do these. Yeah, we still have that ability. Automated text message. You're going to make some people mad, but not everybody. But again, this is when we want to get information out there. There's some people that really prefer this method, and there's some people that really hate this method. then here's how the preferences have changed over the years. They're relatively the same. Like, the people still the people that really preferred the newsletter, website, and email still prefer that. People that didn't want them on Twitter still don't want it on Twitter. So there really has not been a lot of fluctuation in these preferences. So it's about finding those ones that they really prefer and refining that so that it's good communication. Mayor, tell me when you need me to stop. Oh, okay. Then it's, how well do you feel like your voice is heard by the city? And this one has been shifting, and this is why I say we need to refocus our communication. Is this one, I say that I'm interpreting this to be that the residents look at us and they're like, yeah, they're okay, right? You're not horrible, you're not great. I would love to see that bar get shifted down to be where people say, no, my city, I may not agree with everything the city says, but they at least try to get the message out. And that's where I say we need to move this one. We need to get more people seeing that communication. So over the years, here's how it's changed. How would you rate that, right? So back in 2015 or 2018, a lot of people felt like we were doing a good job of communicating. And you can see that has shifted to a 3. I think there's just going to be 10% of the people that are never going to be happy with the way we communicate, and that's all right. But these are the people I think we need to focus on in saying there's a good number of people that we want to get the message out there, and they're getting the message, and how they can interpret, and how they, in a form that they can read it, and a form that they understand it, and it's good content. So how do residents rate city services? Garbage collection. This is year in, year out, our top rated service, city service. It's a great service, obviously. I mean, you take all your stuff you don't want out to the curb and someone comes and gets it, right? It's pretty awesome. Pressurized irrigation, it's pretty highly rated. So highly rated, in fact, that we had 3 calls today about when we were gonna turn the system on. Yeah, I'm not kidding. 3 of them today, yeah. Okay, next, city management, staff. We have a good staff. Utility billing, we have great utility billing. They really try to work with people, and I feel like they're very, very competent at what they do and very sympathetic to situations and working with people. Code enforcement nuisance, this one's a little bit tougher because if you're doing it, you're out there, you're probably making somebody mad. Somebody's getting a letter that they don't really necessarily want, so that could put a sour taste in their mouth. So that's why I say some of these questions you got to read out.
Someone's got a bad thing there with it.
Yeah. So it might be that that's being done. Zoning and building department, a lot of times people don't like the feedback they get from building and zoning because it means that they have to go back and change plans. But ultimately, I know Jeff and Jenny have the city's best interests at heart when they do push back on some proposals. City Council Mayor, highly rated, way to go. Street construction and maintenance. One thing when you read the open comments is I don't know that a lot of people, there are a few people out there that still think Canyon Road is ours. It's not. but nonetheless, I do feel like the city does strive to have well-maintained roads. Snow removal. This is another tricky one in that I can't remove snow if it's not there. So we do have to wait for the snow to be there to plow it. So a lot of times that upsets people. But yeah. Recreational services are highly rated, and public safety, highly rated. And then you can kind of see the trends over the years. Garbage, like I said, has always been very high. Again, I would say some of these might be artificially high in 2018, just given that 3-point scale conversion to a 5-point scale conversion. So that could be explaining some of the jump there. But you do see that there is some, these numbers aren't, well, they're not static. We kind of know what to expect when we do a survey. I don't know that any of these really jumped out at me as a surprise, so to say. So this is where we get into Heritage Park specifically. So we asked, what new amenities would you like to see? And it's just, there's no limit. Check everything that you want to see. Shade trees and benches. And I do kind of think that's because so many people spend a lot of time there during the family festival, and there really aren't any benches to be found down there. And the trees that were removed, the poplars, are terrible shade trees. So if you looked at the, if you look at some of the plans, and I know Charles is going to be showing some ideas. I don't know that landscaping is necessarily part of it tonight, but we are looking at landscape as, or shade trees as part of that landscape plan. They want to see shade structures, they want to see tables, pickleball again, never enough courts. Parking has always been an issue there. But some of the things that we had proposed down at Heritage Park really rated very low, which were the Veterans Flag Memorial, and we talked about that kind of Zen garden, the quieter area. Anyway, good feedback. And then the questions we asked, probably going to give me 2 minutes, I can probably get through this whole presentation. And there's multiple ways to interpret this, because Cheryl and I have had our own discussions about this, in that you have, you know, in this case, we asked them a question. We tried to be as realistic as possible about that, finding, say, in this case, a dog park, saying, we're going to get a half an acre, and the construction costs to grade it, plant irrigation, plant grass, maybe a couple shade trees, benches, fence it off, $250,000 to $400,000. With annual personnel operations maintenance costs of $50,000, because we don't have a staff member to, right now, to do that. And then that would be an annual property tax increase. Would you support this? An annual rate of $25, this comes out to $2 a month. No, 75%. So, but when you go through the open-ended comments, a lot of people do specifically mention a dog park. So keep that in mind. A library. It does, but with the pool, the question shifted from, do you want a pool?
Of course they do.
Of course you do. But then you say, the question became, here are three different types of pools. Here's a high-end pool, a mid-tier pool, a lower-end pool. Do you want these? You know, here's the property tax implication. All of a sudden, the answers changed, and it was, we'd really like a splash pad.
Chandler, I was just going to say, it's miraculous that we even got 50% for the splash pad. I mean, when you think of how these people respond to every single other question, and they were willing to pay for it, it was less than the cost of a pool, but it is miraculous that we got 52. And if we only went with majority, we would only have a splash pad, and we wouldn't have anything else at that park, which we know is idiotic. So you got to look at more, to me, I look at it as ratios, more than this is a rejection. You're helping, if something's like two times more, maybe you have two times more than that. You plant five trees for one thing, but you don't eliminate every other thing because you know it's helping other people. I mean, Harvey Park is a great park and everyone likes it because there's different things to do there.
It's the design of the park in aggregate rather than an isolated amenity that's there. I can't believe Justin's going to walk in front of my presentation. That's just so rude. No, I'm kidding. All right, so that, the next question was similar, but it was about a library. And because I don't have a building for a library, we'd have to build something smaller or put it somewhere, but we estimated a construction cost of $2.5 to $3 million, financed with a 30-year bond, annual personnel maintenance of $350,000, as you do have to staff a library, annual property tax levy of $150. So something I'm interpreting, this is, you know, went from $25 an annual property tax to $150, but the number jumped up from like 17 to 30, so a lot more people would like to see the city invest in a library rather than a dog park. However, if this were to go out to a geo bond, this would fail. Skate park. This is the one I really wanted. Anyway, again, construction cost of $500,000, annual operations maintenance of $30,000, $25 a year. This was a pretty big no. So, and then a cemetery, because these are all items, if you haven't noticed, because if you've talked to people in the community, these are things that people say, when is the city going to do this, right? Cemetery. And if you're familiar with the Linden Cemetery, it sits on about, I want to say like half acre to an acre. It's very small. It's a nice little flat piece of ground there over by the old Valley Center Playhouse. But it's owned by the city, and if the city could find a property to do it on, we estimated we could build it, construct it, get the software and the equipment for about $1.5 million, 20-year bond, annual operations of $100,000, tax levy $50 to cover debt and maintenance, and it came in just ahead of the dog park. Anyway, so if you go through the survey, there's a lot of open-ended questions, and I would encourage you to read those. And we're going to talk more about this, but any other questions? I know we've got to wrap up before council meeting starts.
Just a quick thought, because I made this silly mistake, and I wonder if other people did too. I thought the annual amount was monthly.
Oh.
I wonder if that impacted
it. It could have.
For me, like, any of those, I'd be like, $10 for all that. Let's do it. But
yeah.
I'm sure not everyone agrees, but I could've wonder been. If we had broken it up in a monthly, it
could have. And as we asked the question, maybe that's the way the question is phrased in a future survey.
And say annual and then monthly.
Sure. That's a good point.
It's fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating okay. Results.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. All right, that's our last item on the work session agenda. So I will entertain a motion to close our work session. Thank you. The motion made by Councilmember Ellison. Do I have a second?
Second.
Councilmember Miller has made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, this session is closed. We'll give about 2 minutes and then we'll start our